Thank you very much. We can now start with our meeting. The deliberation on our before I start, I want to share this information with honorable members. There is an article in Cape Town about our defense force, the new face of the defense force, and the challenges that the defense force is facing. Seemingly, it's a two-part series. The first series appeared yesterday in Cape Town, and the second part, I think, will appear today by one Michael Kaplan. I would urge honorable members to read that series. It will inform us so that where we agree with Michael Kaplan, we must say we agree. Where we do not agree with him, we must also say we do not agree with him. But the only problem is that I see Michael Kaplan only take comments from the Honorable David Menia. He must be a big fan. And he doesn't take comments from other members of the committee on defense. There's another disparity that I've realized, but I think it's worth reading so that we need to be informed and see what how other people view us out there. That is just for information so that no one remembers my question. Thank you. Look, I think we will go straight to our business of the day. We are going to ask the DG here to take a few once more. And whatever input we have to make, we will continue to take it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Pursuant to our appearance before you last week, there are certain areas where there was a proposal for some amendments pursuant to the public hearings that had been held. Recalling that last week when we were presenting our responses to the public hearing and how we saw the manner in which we could take them into account in terms of the bill as tables before you. We also took into account the ministerial testimony on Minister Bessel, which had met after the public hearing to consider the public hearing and also made a certain amendment or proposal about how to amend. The writ as provided by the legal team from the state of advisors as well as from the Minister of Defense and Minister of Defense, the one page that indicates the specific areas with proposals for amendment, and that is the section clauses 1, 4, and 13 of the bill. Of course, with clause 1 being the clause 2, the definition definitions of ways or phrases that are in the bill, and taking into account what the public hearings have said. So, with those introductory remarks, I'd like to wanted to give that background, and I will await you go ahead whether we should go straight into the lifting.
Any other suggestion? how we should allow the DG to go on. Okay. Just go on, DG.
In the bill on page 3 in the section 1 on the definitions with respect to clause 1 and in particular line number 24 after 4, the proposal is to then add that phrase which is indicated there, which then says provided that this definition does not exclude any person referred to in paragraph A, B, or C who could not complete his or her military training due to an injury sustained during military training or a disease contracted or associated with military training. If honorable members could remember, the context to this was against the background of the fact of completing training. And to then make a provision that in the event somebody who is enlisted in any of the forces as indicated in A, B, or C does not complete training, not out of their own will, they should still be considered. So, for instance, as the amendment indicates, sustain an injury during training or have a disease that you then contract. Children training. So it's to then cover that, to be specific to that kind of condition in terms of what I thought that to await any comment or feedback.
Thank you very much. Any comment? I must also remind honorable members that we are only going to deal with 3 topics today. And in the last portfolio committee meeting, we said it cannot be restricted to them. If time allows, we can go on, but there is an indication already that some members will have other commitments, which means maybe we may deal with obviously these 3 clauses for today. Can we get comments from honorable members on this clause? No comments? Then we can go to another clause.
Just a clarification, does that then mean that it's in the exception?
I think that is standard thing. Honorable members?
Yeah. Thank you. With respect to the other proposed amendment, specifically on clause 4, and clause 4 is on the next page 4 of the bill. Clause 4 in that deals with what is called as authority of the president. In the public hearings and as already observed and agreed to the substitution then of the line authority of the president, substituted with patron in chief. The motivation for that, as highlighted in the public hearing and the subsequent engagement with the committee, where that that clause has nothing to do or says nothing, the caption says nothing about the authority of the president, but the intention is to actually address the matter of the president as the patron in chief. So to substitute that authority of the president to patron in chief. And then leave the body of the clause as is. We should still be the president as commander in chief of the South African National Defense Force is the patron in chief of all the ministers.
Thank you, DG. Second clause, any comments? Nothing? No comments? Then we'll continue to the next clause, DG.
The next clause, honorable chair member, is with respect to clause number 13, and that is 3 pages down on page 7 in particular. And clause number 13 speaks to the advisory council, in particular the appointment of members of the advisory council, and specifically to zoom in then from on that page 7, line number 13. 17 to omit subsection 2, subsection 2 to substitute it with the phrasing, the members of the advisory council must have relevant knowledge, experience, or expertise that would enable the advisory council to perform its functions effectively and efficiently. That is a proposed insertion to expand clause 2 as is currently read to mean members of the advisory council and then must be veterans and B must have relevant knowledge, experience, and expertise. So to then couch it the way it is being proposed for that particular two. So it means A and B get removed, but then met or rephrased to read as indicated that they must be having relevant knowledge, experience, or expertise. So for instance, the indication in A as currently stated that they must be used to that, then also. Of course, when one looks at what stands in 2, it may well be that those members with the relevant knowledge, experience, or experience are military members. But it may also be the case that they are not military members. So it counts in such a way that it's more inclusive.
Right, that is the our last clause for the day. Are there any comments? Accepted. Thank you very much. And we have now done with the resources for the day. You have something to say, Honorable Daniel?
Yes, sure. I just wanted to check if I'm lying with what the question is talking about. Because to me, it says the members of the advisory council must have relevant knowledge. But I don't say from what. Because the general knowledge, the expertise all around, but what is it that we're talking to? Yes, we're talking about this particular thing. But what is this knowledge I'm talking to?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The knowledge and expertise that is referred to is in the context of what is in the preceding section 9, which speaks to the functions of the association and also, in particular, establishment of the advisory council. On the functions of the association, the functions of the association as stipulated are to perform functions provided in the Act. Sorry, not association, my apologies. Advisory Council, that is text. The Advisory Council established to attend to the interest, put broadly as the interest of military veterans, and then the powers and duties, and then says, must provide the functions provided for the Act. And key clause, that is D, 11.1D, advise the minister on any matter relating to the policy applicable to military veterans, and C, on its own initiative or at the request of the minister or of the director general, make recommendations to the minister or the director general as the case may be, and furnish advice on all matters pertaining to military veterans and their dependents. So the knowledge and expertise is within the context.
Honorable member. Okay. Now, another question that brings us to the end of our meeting for today. I guess thank you, Chair. I'm comfortable that we regarded to sequentially the amendment to clause 5.4 and 13 proposed by the department. I just want to be absolutely clear that this does not conclude our deliberation, for example, on clause 1 of the bill, because I do intend to move amendments in respect of, for example, clause 1. My question to you is this now the time to do those amendments, or do you intend to deal with this at a later stage? I think that should be the normal procedure. We should not prevent anybody to deal with any clause of this deal. That would be my suggestion, Honorable Member.
I think that is the question he is asking. Now, if the answer is yes, it is where he wants to come in. Am I correct?
That is my understanding. Yeah. That would be my understanding. I would suggest, Honourable Member, I would suggest that let's deal with this straight today, and as from tomorrow onwards, we can deal with any other thing outstanding. Will that be right with everybody? Will that be right with everybody? Was that we would look to the state law advisor to provide seems to me that Anthropic finance has that opinion. It may not be wise to at least deal with the definition of the military veteran.
On another moment here, you remember your issue was noted, I noted it in this meeting. We are actually going to ask the department to respond to that. I think that was clear in our last meeting. And when we meet, when we meet, the department will tell us what feedback they have. Did you? Yeah, we'll deal with it. Thank you very much, Amber. We'll then we'll attend to that in our next meeting. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.